Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another great trip report. Let's escape to Walt Disney World here on this Monday. Listener Marissa is standing by from North Carolina. We are going to talk about her trip this past December, just a month ago, down to Walt Disney World. She stayed at Saratoga Springs. They're DVC owners. So we kind of rank the DVC resorts in her opinion. We talk a lot about Bay Lake Towers, also Animal Kingdom Lodge. We get into the fact that she was there for the grand opening of Rise of the Resistance. Unbeknownst to her, she was there, how that was on the first day. Seeing Candlelight Processional with Neil Patrick Harris. Lots of great information on today's show. Don't forget, today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. If you want to see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation, check them out today over at touringplans.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you do that online shopping, you're still going to get all your Prime benefits, and it costs you nothing extra. And every purchase does help support everything we do here on the podcast. So a huge thank you to those who use the link. And if you haven't, please start using it today if you can. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1592 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you, and if you're lucky, you may be off work or school today because it is Dr. King Day. We remember the great sacrifices and lessons that Dr. King brought to our country decades ago to make our country just a little bit better. So reflect on that today, and we're going to have a great time talking Disney. Whether you know, I still work today. People and my guest today still works because she owns her own business. That's just how it is. We're going to have to reflect and work at the same time, but it's not really work when you're helping people plan awesome vacations. So joining me today to talk about one of those great vacations, we have Marissa down in North Carolina. Marissa, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. You know, you're still doing that, you know, like that post-Disney, you know, blues that lasts like a good, I don't know, month to 6 months, 9 months after every trip.
I'll tell you what, you know, I'm just back from Marathon Weekend, of course, last week. And again, shout out to all the lizards. I cannot believe how many folks ran with us. And this was truly my favorite Marathon Weekend ever. So many friends, so many great memories. And just the weather was great, except for on Sunday when it was a million degrees for the race. But it was just a great time. But you know what? You mentioned those post-Disney blues. I posted a picture on Tuesday when I got back home that the day before my lunch, I can't remember. It was on Main Street USA. What'd I have? I had something like Casey's Corn Dog Nuggets and a Coke Zero. It was great. And then that day it was back to my turkey sandwich and my baked Cheetos. You know, it's just, it was depressing. I mean, so you get it. You know, when you get home, it's a little rough adjusting from Main Street to the old kitchen table.
It is. And the best way to combat that, honestly, is to start planning the next trip.
Absolutely. Or in my case, plan 100 trips for guests. Exactly. That's great. No, I have my next one. I'm going out for Princess in 4.5 weeks. That's the way to do it. You know, I only have, a month to wait. So, but then it's a longer wait, but you know, what can you do? All right. So let's talk about your trip. We had a fun one to talk about today, just back in December. So give us the details, like when you went, where you stayed, who traveled, and then we'll dive into all the fun stories.
All right, so we went to Disney December 4th through the 8th. We stayed at Saratoga Springs. We're DVC owners, so we stay. That's not our home resort. Our home resort is actually Bay Lake Tower, but this was sort of that fitting a last trip in before our annual passes ran out kind of trip. So we grabbed a room at Saratoga, a studio, one of the preferred section rooms, and we were in the Springs section, which was really nice. And we were there for my husband Chris's birthday. It's just the two of us. We're two big kids. We don't have kids of our own. We have lots of four-legged kids. I'm a riding instructor here in North Carolina. So we have seven horses, and we take care of an additional 20-some-odd horses. So and anytime we can get away, it takes a little bit of an act of Congress for us to get time away from the farm. So this was my husband's birthday trip. We were very excited, and it was our last trip for the year, and probably until 2021. I don't think we're going to get there this year at all because our points, our DVC points are all used up. So this was a big one. We had to go out with a bang.
I always say, you know what? That's the one constant I know about all my friends who are DVC, and I have tons of friends who are, you know, my buddy Scott, he's DVC. It just seems like there's never enough points. Is that the case? I mean, it's like, you don't want to overspend, but yeah, it's like they're always gone.
They call it add-on-itis when you suddenly realize you don't have enough points and you start eyeballing other contracts out there.
See, those are my favorite kind of people, because that way I can, you know, like I have a lot of guests because we can't book DVC as travel agents, but, you know, once you run out of points, we can take good care of you.
Right, exactly. So you start thinking like, well, maybe we could just do a catch trip if we had to. You know, you start making excuses to get back there. But so this was, we managed our points very carefully. We were actually able to take four trips last year. We went December of 2018, May of 2019, September of 2019, and then managed to get one last trip in at the end of December. Literally, our annual pass ran out on the 8th, on the day that we were leaving. So we planned it right down to the wire.
I've been there. We've had annual passes run out one day before we left, so we just had to turn the last day into a pool day. Like we were saying, what we did was we added on one day. This was years ago. We added one day at Beach Club, and we stayed club level for that one night and just hung out at Stormalong Bay and took, you know, because it was hard to go home. Our passes were over, but you know what? It was one of the best days ever because, and I talked to Scott about this on our trip, this past trip, that if you ever go down and your passes are expired, you can't go into the parks, there's almost like a pressure is off your shoulders to just have a resort day, stay at the pool, go play putt-putt, explore other resorts, have meals. I know it's a weird thing to say to go to Walt Disney World and have the pressure off not having park tickets, but every once in a while, that can be just a different perspective and a way to relax.
Well, that's one of the great things about having bought DVC is it's really changed the way that we tour. We used to be very, very commando, you know, the rope drop till they kick me out of the park, commando, style, and you always felt like there was that FOMO, that fear of missing out, like every second had to be accounted for in the park. And now that we have this DVC membership, we always know we're going to be back. So it's really allowed us to slow down and kind of enjoy not just the parks, but the resorts. We do resort days now. We actually did a trip 2 years ago where we just stayed. We didn't go to the park at all. We stayed it was Saratoga. And we just kind of explored the greater Orlando area. We went down to Tampa for a day. So it's really been kind of neat. We were those crazy people there at Rope Drop, and we were the crazy people dragging ourselves to the bus and on the way home after the park closed. But now we've chilled out quite a bit.
Yeah, I was that guy that was at Disney's Hollywood Studios at 5:30 in the morning to get a boarding pass last week.
Oh,
it was rough.
Oh, that was us on this trip, but I was there was no way I was going to miss out on that. In fact, this was when we booked this trip, they had not announced that Rise of the Resistance was going to be opening the day after we arrived. Luckily, we had gotten to see Galaxy's Edge for the first time when we were there in September. And again, when we booked that trip, we had no idea it was going to open a week before we got there. So we were prepared the first time back in September, the beginning of September, to battle these huge crowds, and then had to prepare for it again. And there, you know, I'm a pretty good planner. Like my ear is to the grindstone the whole time leading up to these trips. But since the ride was opening literally the day before we were going to get there, there was no information out there about how to handle the crowds, how to get these boarding groups. We really had to kind of wing it. And luckily, it worked out pretty well for us.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You're right. I mean, when you're the guinea pig, it's exciting because, hey, man, you know, for the rest of your life, you'd be like, I was here when it happened. But you're right. For folks like us that like to research and look on Twitter, like, okay, this worked, this didn't work, I need to put myself here. It can kind of be frustrating, a little scary when you don't have, I mean, you're the one everybody's looking to. Like, I had a couple guests that were down there when Rise opened, and thank goodness one of our listeners, Linda, was feeding me information each and every day. She was there on a 2-week vacation, and that helped me so much because you don't know because you can't go to a guidebook or anything, a website.
Yeah, like I don't know what we're doing here. We're just going to get there early and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, but it was really neat. It kind of felt like you were part of this kind of big, huge moment that that Disney was having. Like we were all kind of in this together, the whole crowd. And it was like a real electricity in the air, even there on that second day that the the ride was open, and it was pretty exciting.
Absolutely. Been there, and you're 100% right. I mean, it's just cool to say you were there. Let me ask you one thing before we dive into the trip, because I don't want to get into the details, but we have a lot of folks that travel to Walt Disney World that are kind of in the same situation that you're in. You run your own business. Of course, you say you have horses, so that's a unique, you know, you can't just leave animals. You know, I mean, that's something that's even more demanding than somebody who might own a, you know, an insurance agency or something like that. How do you work that into your life and schedule trips and make it happen? Because we talked before we start recording, you know, these trips are important because you do need to unplug. You can't be, you know, into your business 365, you know, 24 hours a day. You have to escape a little bit, but it is a challenge. So how do you find that balance? How do you make it work?
Well, for us, I mean, we've been here, it'll be 17 years this year of doing this, and it took several years for us to find our groove as far as, you know, getting the business established and getting a little stability financially and otherwise, and it's doing very well. But our ability to go on vacation is entirely dependent upon the people who work for us and who help us, that we've cultivated these relationships with them, that I know that they can take care of things for us when we're gone, and we'll let me know when things are not right. We'll let me, you know, we'll call the vet if a horse is acting funny or sick, which has happened on pretty much every trip we've gone on. I did have one get sick while we were gone, but you know, I always let our vet know that we're going to be away. So he's kind of on call, ready to jump in when stuff goes awry. But it's the people we've surrounded ourselves with who know how much I love Disney and how important these trips are to us, and are just so great at taking care of stuff for us when we're away. It is really, thank God for technology we have, because there's really not a whole lot I can't fix with a phone call to a carefully placed phone call or a text to somebody to swoop in and fix whatever problem is going on back home. But surrounding yourself with the right support system is super necessary, especially if you're a business owner.
Yeah, 100%. You know, because when I switched from education, being a teacher for 17 years, to working in travel for the Magic for Less, you know, basically you run your own business. Once you have a travel agency, you have your guests and everything, and you want to give them the highest level of service every day, every minute, every hour, because these vacations are so important. But the funniest thing is that, you know, when I was a teacher and I got off for the summer, I didn't have any responsibilities at all. You know, once school was out, I taught sixth grade, the kids threw the papers in the air, the folders went everywhere, and we could see in August, you know, like, we didn't worry about anything. Like, I didn't do anything in the summer that had a responsibility, where as a travel agent, you work 365 days a year, and you work, you know, you don't just work like 8 to 5, you know, you're still working at 10 at night, and you're doing what you got to do. But if it's the same thing, you know, if it wasn't for Jeanette and Kathy and all the other great folks over at the Magic for Less covering for me and giving my guests great experiences, I wouldn't, you know, the ironic thing is becoming a travel planner means I wouldn't be able to go to Walt Disney World because I can't take a day off. So it's the same thing. And I think it's kind of, I like when you share your strategies like that, that, you know, you have folks you can lean on, because I know that there are a lot of folks who want to go to Disney, but we have a lot of folks in our audience that are business owners. You know, they run their own business, and it is a challenge. It's something to think about.
Yeah. And you do have to set limits. You have to set boundaries, not just with your employees, but also with your clients. I'm again, very fortunate. All of my clients, my students, the people who, keep their horses at my barn, my boarders, they know when I'm going to be away. I make sure that they all know who to contact when I'm not around. And they also know that in an emergency, they can reach me, but they also know how much these trips are important. And they tend to not bother me with, you know, trivial stuff or nonsense, you know, kind of stuff. You know, they can handle they don't sweat the small stuff. They know not to. They're very good to me. They don't, you know, hey, have you seen so-and-so's bucket? No, I'm a couple hundred miles away, dude. I don't know where you're looking. Yeah, so they're really good about that. But again, that's almost two decades of cultivating relationships. And, you know, everybody knows that I'm a huge Disney nut. And they kind of live vicariously through me. They love seeing when I post my pictures on Facebook and, you know, seeing that we have that much fun, because they know how hard I work when we're home. You know, like, we're literally like a foot of mud right now from all the rain that we've had. So they're used to seeing me, you know, out there on the hot days, the cold days, the rainy days, the windy days, doing everything that needs to be done out on our farm. So they really do kind of get a kick out of seeing us unwind and turn into two big kids for a couple of days.
It's so awesome. You know, it's so true. My guests, of course, I have this podcast, so mostly they know that I'm down at Walt Disney World because I talk about it here on the show and they see my updates on social media, same thing. So I appreciate all my guests who cut me some slack while I actually go and have some fun here and there too. So thank you to all my awesome guests. I love it. All right, so let's hop into the trip because I want to talk about Saratoga. I've only stayed at the tree houses years ago with Pam. We were down in October for a big podcast event. Still can't believe we didn't go to jail. We had like 80 people in a treehouse. I don't know how the security let that happen. I will always deny it, but there's lots of pictures all over the internet. But I run through this. I shouldn't say this, but I actually run through Saratoga when I have to stay at the Disney, Downtown Disney or the Disney Springs hotels when I'm off site for cheerleading. And I love Saratoga. It's beautiful. It's large. I like the big lake in the middle. It's a neat place. But what do you think? I mean, you have all these experiences at different resorts, especially the DVC. How do you rank Saratoga, especially now with all the improvements and the ease of walkability to Disney Springs?
We really, really enjoyed Saratoga. Now, the funny thing is, if you recall, the theme at Saratoga is...
No, that's true. I didn't see the irony in that. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's like me going to a resort that's all about podcasting.
Right. It's like Disney built a resort and said, what could we make that Marissa would really
that's
enjoy?
True. I didn't think of that. You're right.
So I enjoyed it a whole lot. It's beautiful. And I know one of the kind of knocks against it people give is that it is so big and spread out. But we drive our own car from North Carolina, so... we love being able to park so close to our room. Basically, we're just parked right outside the unit. And now that Disney Springs is what it is, the proximity to it makes it a really desirable location for us because we love Disney Springs. We love just hanging out there in the evening with the live entertainment and, you know, eating our way from one end to the other. But Saratoga Springs is really... It's up there. My husband, I don't know if my husband agrees with me. I actually like it a little better than Boardwalk.
Ooh, that's a hot take there.
That's all right. That's high praise right there. Well, I think it's because Boardwalk has the scary clown pool, and I don't know if you've seen it, but I have, and it's the stuff of my nightmares.
Oh yeah, I mean it's that and the chairs in the lobby. You're both nightmare inducing, but you know, you do what you got to do.
When I realized those eyes lit up at night, oh my goodness, what is happening here? But. I really do love it. Our heart will always belong to Bay Lake Tower. Believe it or not, the Bay Lake Tower and the Contemporary is our favorite resort, DVC or otherwise. And we have always, when you're a kid, there's something about watching the monorail slide through the middle of that hotel through the Contemporary. And I remember always having wished we could stay there, but you know, we didn't have Contemporary money when I was growing up. So when we got to stay there once, kind of on it was our honeymoon. We stayed there on our honeymoon in a room in the tower at the Contemporary, and we were smitten. And when the opportunity to buy DVC came along, we were like, "Yes, this has to happen." So Bay Lake Tower number one, Animal Kingdom Lodge probably number two, and for me, Saratoga number three.
Interesting. So is it about? I mean, I guess it's kind of the whole picture, especially with Bay Lake Tower, being able to walk to the Magic Kingdom, being able to peek right inside the Magic Kingdom. Basically, you're staying in Tomorrowland. You know,
right, you're right in the hustle and bustle. But a lot of people don't realize this. Bay Lake Tower is kind of removed from that hustle and bustle. It feels one of those like little boutique hotels. It's very spa-like. It's not crazy. There's no restaurant in there. There's no insanity. There's no craziness. It's like a nice little respite. But the craziness is right outside the door if you want it.
Yeah, you can just walk right across that bridge, and you got chef, you got people spinning napkins right below you, mm-hmm. monorails and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. And the vibe there, like the decor, is very IKEA, which is kind of our thing.
See, that's the thing. I don't know if I really, again, I'm from the Midwest. You know, we don't have much, you know, we get our stuff at Target, I guess. I don't know. I get my desk stuff on Amazon now, but I don't know because, you know, I like the like Pop Century, the Riverside, like the deep themes. And to me, again, I haven't stayed at Bay Lake Tower, but I've been in it a few times. And I don't know. It just seems like a little bit sterile. But I mean, is that something that is just like because I haven't stayed there? That's the thing. I really don't think I can make a good decision until I've stayed there for three or four nights.
And I think that's, you might be right. There is a little sterility to it as far as like overt Disney theming. But that's kind of the charm of it because it's right outside. Like if you look out the window, you're looking at the castle. You're looking at Space Mountain and even closer than the actual Contemporary. So you can see the best parts of Disney out your window, but you can also relax and kind of unplug from that a little bit, you know, so it's not punching you in the face all the time. So you have that really great balance of this peaceful, kind of serene, overlooking the lake, or overlooking, you know, an electric water pageant pulls up outside your window every night. True. And you have fireworks outside you. So you've got the most Disney thing ever outside your window, or a nice quiet respite from it if you close the window.
And with some rooms, it almost probably looks like Tinkerbell's coming right at you, right into your room. Yeah. Heads up,
right,
she's coming right in.
Fireworks are blowing up in, right over you.
She's coming in hot. Open the door. Here she comes. That sounds so fun. Okay, so we got to hop in because I'll make sure we get this all in. So it was your husband's birthday.
So it was my husband Chris's birthday.
Yeah, okay, so you're down beginning of December.
His birthday was actually the 4th, so it was the day we were showing up. So this is one of the few times that we were not illegally wearing the birthday button. So we checked in. Actually, this was also the first time we'd ever gotten our room ready text. We always do online check-in. And we leave typically the day before, we leave the night before, drive part of the way, get a cheap hotel somewhere in South Carolina, and then drive the rest of the way on our arrival day so that we're not exhausted when we get there from like a 9-hour straight drive. So we're about, I think we got the text like literally just as we hit like Orlando that the room was ready, which was a shock to me because it had never happened before. And the only request I had made was for one of the renovated rooms, because the resort is actually undergoing a renovation. The renovated rooms are beautiful, but we were not assigned a renovated room. So we kind of had to do that. Do we just take the room they gave us, or do I go to the front desk and try to hold out for a renovated room? So we were like, you know what, let's just go see where that room is. And it was in a really great section of the Springs, which is basically across the street from where the main pool is, and super easy to get to the bus stop. Even we typically drive to the parks most of the time, except the Magic Kingdom, because then we don't have to take the monorail or whatever over. So it was a really good location, and we had a reservation for lunch, like a late lunch at 2:30, I think it was, at Beer Garden. And it was already like noon, so we wanted to just kind of be able to drop our stuff, freshen up from the drive, and hightail it over to Epcot. So we thought, you know, let's just take the room. And actually, it was in good shape. We had stayed there once before in a different section, and the room was really worn. So like the resort definitely needs this rehab that it's going through. But we decided to just we kept the cards that we were dealt, and it was, you know, lovely room, nice view. Easy to get to, all that good stuff. And we kind of dropped our things, freshened up real quick, and then jumped in the car and drove over to Epcot so that we could get our Beer Garden reservation, which was actually my husband's request for his birthday. That's where he wanted his birthday dinner. It's one of our favorites.
Oh, man, your husband's right, man. I love some Beer Garden. And I hope you had a big appetite and were ready to go. There's nothing like that arrival day, though. You know, you find out, you know, you're always like, oh, I wonder where my room's going to be. You know, I'll be honest, you know, I was down last week and I was at Pop Century. And I got, no kidding, I didn't request a room because I was just like, I like letting the chips fall where they may. And then I'll, you know, if it's a terrible room or something, I'll ask. But I was in the 90s, as far away from the Skyliner as you could get. I mean, I was in the last building, opposite end, far corner. But the way I looked at it is I got more steps on my Apple Watch. So whatever, you know, I was excited. I got there. I didn't want to have to change and deal. I just wanted to get going. You know, I've been wanting to get there. And I just wanted to get my vacation started.
And that was kind of what, you know, my husband was thinking. It's like, you know what, this is fine. We're happy. The room is clean. It was in a good spot. We mostly wanted to get to Beer Garden was calling, and we must go.
So how was Beer Garden? I mean, did they celebrate with him for his birthday?
Yes, they did. They sang happy birthday to him. Our table mates were lovely. I know some people get a little worried about sitting with strangers, but you know, the way you can think about it is you're surrounded by other people who are in your happy place. So everybody's in the happiest place they can be. And, you know, if nothing else, you can probably always talk about, you know, make small talk about Disney. The people we were sitting with were lovely. The food was fantastic as always. It's a very meat and potatoes kind of meal. And I used to be the guy, I always said I didn't like German food, and then I ate there, and now I love German food.
Oh, I love that place.
I mean, you really can't go wrong with meatballs and spätzle and schnitzel and
bratwurst.
Yeah, bratwurst, and then there's the pretzel
potatoes.
Bread. And,
yeah.
Oh, it just goes on and on.
I didn't
but we also this meal was part of our candlelight processional package that we had done. Because that evening was Neil Patrick Harris.
Holy cow, you got to see Neil Patrick Harris.
He so did. I was excited.
So is it as good as advertised? Because, you know, I've seen him on the stream before for Disney Parks blog, but what's it like to be there in person?
He really was great. He brought a really great energy to it. We've seen several other performers, several other actors do the show, and it's always a great show. But there was something a little bit just extra awesome. And maybe it's because he himself is such a huge fan of Disney. We didn't bump into him. We actually just missed him when we were at Hollywood Studios a day or so later. He was there to go on Rise of the Resistance too. So he and his family were there that whole week. So it was kind of neat. Seeing him do it, like I said, knowing he was very funny. He was, you know, very well-spoken. And I don't know that I had ever seen any of the other performers do it, but he actually sang at the end with the chorus. Was it were they singing the Hallelujah chorus? Or were they singing... Wow. The very last song he actually sang alongside everybody else, which I don't think I had recalled ever seeing any of the other narrators do.
Yeah, you can totally tell that, you know, he does it because he's a fan. You know, I mean,
yeah.
He does it because they ask him to and he has an association, but he loves it. I mean, you know, they named the margarita after him. He created the margarita at La Cava, you know, like, I mean, it's just, he gets the biggest kick out of being there. And in return, I think the fans adore him for that fact.
Absolutely. And Candlelight Processional is always beautiful. I mean, as many times as I've seen it, it still brings me to tears every time the conductor turns around and gets everybody singing Silent Night together. Like the waterworks just start.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. It's like the
just
greatest.
It's so beautiful.
Because I love Christmas and I love Disney, and it's like the perfect meld of everything. Oh,
yeah.
Love it. All right. So I'll make sure we get all this in. So now, was the next day the day that Rise opened? The 5th? Right?
Yeah. So Rise opened on the 5th, and that was our day. We went to Magic Kingdom and we had a lovely day at Magic Kingdom. Got up early. My husband wanted Tonga toast, so we went over to Captain Cook's, grabbed some pre-park opening breakfast, and then made it there for rope drop at Magic Kingdom, and had, you know, great day. And that was a party night, and we did not stay for the party. We have done the Christmas party before. We've done the Halloween party in the past too, which I actually like a little bit better than the Christmas party. But we had decided to, since we'd been traveling quite a bit and we were tired, we actually left around the park around 4, went over to the Wave. We had dinner there, which we love. The Wave is one of our favorites.
Hey, we have a couple waiters from the Wave listen to the show, so shout out to our friend.
Because our waiter was spectacular. We always have the best service there. The bacon and eggs app is probably the greatest dish in all the land. I don't know if you've had the pleasure of enjoying that.
If you ever go there, the bacon and eggs
is where it's at.
That's Ricky's favorite. She loves
that.
Yeah, and I do too. So, yeah, right. Now, let me. So, I want to ask you this, so because that was the day that Rise opened. You went to the Magic Kingdom, plus it was a party day.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine the crowds were very. I'm guessing that the studios drew a lot of folks over there, and the party kept people away from the Magic Kingdom. Was it a pleasant day crowd wise that you can remember?
It was. It was very manageable. We typically won't wait. I don't know if it's because we're spoiled or whatever. We won't wait more than about 25, 30 minutes for most things. But between the like fast pass and, you know, just kind of carefully maneuvering around stuff, I don't think we waited more than 10, 15 minutes for anything all day. Wow. And it was cold. It was a little chilly. Like that first day at Epcot, like I straight up had a jacket on and gloves and a hat. The second day at Magic Kingdom, it had warmed up in the middle of the day and got a little chilly again in the evening. So, like, we went on Splash Mountain at Rope Drop, and I think it was 50 degrees out. So that we walked right on that, clearly. And were able to ride that and no problems. And it was a fairly light crowd day, which was, and we kind of planned it like that, knowing that there was a party that it likely wouldn't be super crowded. We have made the mistake of going to the Magic Kingdom on a day where there was no party scheduled and the park's open to like midnight and it is so crowded you can't move.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the option, honestly, I think even with shorter hours, if there's a party, if you can swing it, go that day, because I think efficient-wise, you can get as many attractions in, you know, in less crowds. It's just a more pleasant experience.
Absolutely. And then after dinner, we just went and resort hopped around on the monorail line and checked out all the, you know, the Christmas decorations and all that kind of fun stuff. And one of the things we did while we were at Magic Kingdom, we've started doing on some of our trips is, we don't do a lot of the character meets, but we've started to do them. I have a niece and nephew who are 1 and 3, and my sister has not agreed to let me take them to Disney just yet. So we've been doing character meets with my niece and nephew via FaceTime, and that has been a big hit.
That's cool. That's a great idea. Again, technology to the rescue.
Yep. So I was like her hero. She got to see the Fab Five, but I think it was Vampirina that put me over the edge as the favorite aunt.
Yeah, that was for my nephew. The same thing. Like we showed a picture with Vampirina, and I guess new age, man. Mickey doesn't rank up there with like a vampire. So
right. What's going on with that? I didn't know what a Vampirina was, but apparently it made me very popular.
Yeah, just some kind of purple vampire girl, I think. Right. I don't know. That's a great idea. So I want to get out.
We were going to stay to watch the fireworks from the Polynesian beach after we'd kind of resort hop, but we knew that we were going to have a super early morning at Hollywood Studios the next morning. So we kind of went to bed. We left, I think, around like 9, got to bed early in preparation for what was to be probably one of the highlights of any trip I've ever had to Disney.
Highlights and most stressful experience, but it's worth it. And I mean, this is going to be totally spoiler free, so nobody has to bug out, because I know I was dodging the spoilers too. Okay, so the next day you do go to Hollywood Studios. Again, no background knowledge really on what's happening. And so what did that morning, how'd that morning unfold for you?
Well, I had been kind of watching the internet buzz on, various sites and on Facebook for people who were there for opening day. And I knew they were doing this whole boarding group thing, and which I think they had done briefly when Smuggler's Run first opened. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of a kind of people knew what was happening. So I knew we had to get that. They were opening the park early, I think 6 a.m. So we got there. I think it was like 5:15, and we were about 10, 15 people back from the tap styles. But by the time they opened the gate to let people in, the crowd was well beyond like the ticket booth area. I mean, it was pretty packed. And, but like I said, there was this like electricity in the air of the, you know, all of us getting to do this thing that was so brand new. I know it wasn't the first day, but there was this, like this atmosphere of just anticipation and, you know, everyone kind of cheering when they opened the gates. And the cast members were great. They were walking through the crowd, telling people what they needed to do as far as getting a boarding group. They were handing out little slips of paper that had the instructions on how to get a boarding group printed on it. And we were very fortunate. This was only the second day the ride was open. And my understanding is the next day they changed things tremendously. So the day we were there, no lie, we got on the ride 3 times.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous. I got 1.75 because I got evacuated the first time, got to come back the next day. So
yeah, so it was amazing because the next day they made it so that you can only join one boarding group per day. Well, they didn't have that when we were there that second day. So my husband's got his phone, I've got my phone, and we're both like, we're on the page, we opened up the My Disney Experience app, and there is a little prompt to learn more about Galaxy's Edge and Rise of the Resistance. If you click on that, it takes you to the thing to join the boarding group. Now, your entire party that wants to get on the ride has to be there, and they all have to scan their Magic Band or whatever their ticket medium is, and get into the park, and they have to be recognized as actually in the park before they can join a boarding group. And once everybody's in, once the boarding group process opens, you can have your whole party join in. So like the second we walked through the gate, they had that open. So we were able to join a boarding group. I think we were boarding group 11. which is kind of crazy.
Which is kind of crazy though, because the way they did it when I was down and they're doing it now is that, you know, the park opens, it was opening at 7. I think it still is right now for a couple more days. But they would start admitting people at about 6:15 because there were so many people showing up that the crowd was actually backing up all the way back to security. So they, you know, they had to, because there's nowhere to put people to get other people on, you know, through security points. So you would just go into the park and either hang out on Hollywood or Sunset. And I stood there literally from 6:15 to 7 o'clock doing nothing, just waiting for 7 o'clock, because they didn't do it like as soon as you went in, you got to do the boarding group. You had to wait exactly till 7, then they turned the thing on. So yeah, it was a little bit different then.
So it was definitely different, because that first day it was just open as you were scanning your way into the park, and they changed it a day or two after that so that you had that it would only open up at that appointed hour. So we got our boarding group and they just kind of like, all right, park's open, everyone go for it. So they were already at that point calling, I think, boarding groups, you know, 1 through 11 or 1 through 15. So we went right over to the ride. And again, there's something just really cool about that kind of march to the to Galaxy's Edge. And when we were there in September and walked through the tunnel into Galaxy's Edge for the first time, I am not ashamed to admit I cried like a baby. It was like watching my childhood come to life in front of me.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
it's like being dropped on indoor.
All the times playing in my backyard, you know, playing, you know, Star Wars, and you know, my cousins and siblings never let me be Han Solo. I was always relegated to R2-D2 or C-3PO. So to get to fly the Millennium Falcon, you know, myself, that was a big deal.
It was. I mean, just to see it, like, you know, that was the whole thing, because I'd seen it on screen and I'd seen it in my dreams for, you know, four decades, you know, Star Wars came out when I was 4 years old. So it's, you know, that's what I try to explain to Mallory, that, you know, the Rise of Skywalker came out and the Skywalker saga was wrapping up. You know, I was trying to explain to her why it was so important to me, because this has literally been a franchise that I've been, you know, it's been a part of my life since I've been alive, basically, you know, and to see it come full circle and come to an end, it was rough. You know, she's like, "Are you gonna cry in the movie?" I'm like, "I'm not gonna cry. Maybe. I don't know." It's like the whole audience remember we're going. It's like, "Are you gonna cry?" I'm like, "I'm not. No. Well, maybe. Stop. You know, I don't know. Just leave me alone."
And for me, it was just a very emotional experience seeing all these things kind of brought to life in front of me in a I can touch it, I can see it, can interact with it kind of way.
Like, holy cow, the Millennium Falcon, like, that's the whole thing I remember. Like, I loved going in the cockpit, walking, you know, sitting by the chess table, all that, and Smuggler's Run. That was amazing. But, like, the moment for me, though, is that, like, the Falcon is, like, tangibly right in front of me. Like, I'm standing under the Millennium Falcon. Like, full scale, I could not believe it.
We were walking, like, past it to get to the line, Chewbacca's just standing outside with a wrench, just working on it.
So funny. Yeah, it's awesome.
It wasn't a photo op. He's just out there, you know, doing mechanical stuff.
Look, why are you doing that now? We're trying to get out of here. Like an empire. Right. So I want to make sure we get all this. So now,
right,
let me,
so we
spoiler
we
free though. Don't give me spoilers though. Okay. Yeah. Called. Go ahead. No spoilers.
So the boarding group gets called and they let us into, you know, they scan our magic bands. We go in through the queue and we got to ride. And now as soon as we scanned our magic band to get into the queue, my husband immediately went back on the app and joined another boarding group.
Ah, smart.
So that's how we got number 2, which I think the second boarding group was number 29. So we ride the ride, we get off, and we went and rode a couple of other things. They called the second boarding group. We get back on as soon as we scanned in the second time. He joined a third boarding group.
That's what I do with fast passes. Like when you have rolling fast passes, that's the trick. Yeah. Yeah.
So while we were online the second time, the ride breaks down and they evacuated us and gave us a fast pass. So we were able to ride in our third boarding group later and then came back in the evening and tried to ride it at night. And it was a really cool experience, you know, all 3 times. But that very first time we were on it, it was a very, I don't want to say life-changing, but I mean, it was a very emotional experience to ride that for the first time, not knowing anything about. I knew nothing what it was about, and I was blown away. I sent you that picture of my face.
Yes,
my husband snapped that picture of me while we were in a certain part of the queue, where my jaw was just hanging open. I had no idea he was taking that picture. he just happened to turn around and see me and snap that photo of my jaw on the ground. And I went through most of the line like that. And it was just shocking. This is what Imagineering can do when they really, you know, when they really do it right.
That's, you know, and that's, the more I've reflected on it over the past week, you know, since being home and thinking about it, I've thought, you know, what's the role of Rise? You know, it's a new kind of experience. Everybody knows that, even if you haven't been on it. There's no spoilers here, but, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, its place in all the Walt Disney World attractions, and I would say it's the number one attraction by far right now, just because, to me, it's perfect for the studios, too, because the more I think about this, it's like the great movie ride, but it's the great movie ride times four, because what that did was, it was an attempt to put you, immerse you in the movies, like in the Wizard of Oz scene, or, you know, just to kind of walk you through some of the famous scenes from cinematic history. And what this ride does is specifically puts you in the Star Wars universe. But the one thing I'll say about this attraction is, this is as close as you can get to being in a movie. I mean, you are in the movie. Like, it's crazy, you know, and it's perfect for the studios. I mean, it is. It's the great movie ride on steroids.
I was just blown away by the effects, the ride vehicle, like everything. And of course, the cast members made this ride.
Yes.
And I don't want to ruin it for people, but
that'd be the ultimate role.
I emailed guest services when I got home and sang the praises of the cast members who work on that ride.
Oh, and again, it's probably like Great Movie Ride, where I would imagine that was a highly coveted position, you know, to be one of the folks who worked at the Great Movie Ride, because you had a script, you had a role you were playing. Same for here. You know, they 100%. Like, without them doing a good job, it's not as great of an experience, I would imagine. So, all right, we are running way long. So, I want to get to the other highlights of the trip. So, give us a couple, like, you know, highlights, memories, stories that you remember from the trip. I'm sorry, I could talk Rise all day, so that's my fault. So,
well, one of the things that we got to do, because it was that still kind of opening weekend of Rise of the Resistance, is that evening they did like a special show where they had drones that looked like full size X-Wings.
Oh, I wish I could have seen that. How awesome was that?
It was so awesome. And we were going to go watch the fireworks, but we had heard that they were going to do this show a second time because they did it on opening night. So we ran back there, and they had X-Wing pilots out there working the crowd. We got to chat with a pilot for quite a bit. I now know the secret password. You know, I could tell you what the secret password is. Well, you know, if they tell you to ignite the spark, you know what you're supposed to say back.
I don't, but I'm scared you'd have to kill me if you told me. So be careful.
No, I'll email it to you later. That's how they know that you're one of them. So they did this really awesome show right by where the X-Wing is outside of the Rise of the Resistance queue. And then two full-size X-Wings came up from behind the mountain and flew away above the crowd. It was
That is crazy.
Just everything. It was everything.
I saw pictures and video, and I still can't believe it. That is so awesome. Like, I would have a heart attack.
It was, you know, the whole thing from start to finish was just mind blown. That and also rode Slinky Dog with a 15-minute wait.
Slinky Dog is so 2018.
Yeah, I know. It's so old now. I'm looking forward to when the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway opens. If they could do that for a Star Wars ride, I can only imagine what kind of awesomeness is going to be when that opens.
Yeah, you know, but also I think, you know, the whole thing is we got to I think we get spoiled as Disney fans. Like, once you go on Rise, you can see what's possible, but every ride can't be that anymore. You know, like, this has to be like a once in every 5 year kind of thing. You know, we still need to have the middle of the road rides. You know, I think Mickey and Minnie's is going to be awesome, but it's not going to be Rise.
Right. So after that, the next day we went to Epcot. We actually slept in a little bit, and sleeping in means we got to the park at 9:30 instead of 9 o'clock. So, you know, we slept in a little bit. We did actually see the new fireworks show at Epcot on our first night. It's not my favorite nighttime show. I mean, it was no illuminations. But I'm looking forward to all of the stuff that's coming to Epcot, because we got to do the preview center. We went into the Epcot, preview center that's at the Odyssey building. Because I wanted to see all the new stuff that's kind of coming. And, I mean, it looks like it's going to be pretty awesome. So we were really excited because we're not going to be there this year. Next time, that was one of the things we kept telling ourselves, this is the last time we're going to see Epcot look like this.
Yeah.
Then Epcot, as we know it, is going to be really fundamentally changed next time we get back there.
That's a good point. I mean, you're right. And it's kind of a mess right now, but it's going to be, you know, it's one of those things, you got to go through the pain to get the gain, you know? So it was sad to see, you know, like that whole part of Interventions missing last week, you know, it's like, and Mouse Gears is gone. How's Mouse Gears gone? You know, it hurts.
Yeah. So when we were in Epcot, we like to do, we were there, it's the Festival of the Holidays when we were there. Any of the time we've gone, we try to look for, we go during Food and Wine, we've been there during Flower and Garden, and they always do this like extra stuff. Well, this time they had the Chippendale ornament hunt going on, and you basically have to go through all the countries looking for a wreath with Chippendale hidden in it somewhere, and then you put your little sticker on the map in the little spot, and then at the end you get an ornament. So we had a ton of fun going through the countries, and some of those things, like, they're like, you guys are supposed to be doing this for kids, I'm never gonna find where you put this. We really enjoyed doing that because it makes you go and explore inside the countries a little bit more. Some people just kind of tend to hover around the periphery of those, of the pavilions, but it really makes you go into the store and look around and talk to cast members and find stuff. So we had a lot of fun doing that.
I love that kind of stuff because you're right. It does force you to see that there's more than just like a surface level to the pavilions. You know, it's not just a restaurant and a, you know, photo op, you know, there's a lot going on. I love when you interact. That's why I love Kid Cop Fun Stops, you know, with the kids, is that it gives you a chance to talk to somebody from that country and to strike up a conversation, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's great.
And then for fun, we did go and jump on the Skyliner just because I wanted to, you know, get a feel for it and see what that was all about. It did stop once. Well, we were only for, it was like a 5 minute stop. So I don't know that they've ironed all the bugs out of it just yet, but it really was, it was fun up there. Like, it's very quiet and peaceful, and you get great views from up there, and it was very fast. And I think when it's, you know, really humming along, it's going to be great for a great mode of transportation for people staying at those resorts over there. Or even if you're not, you need to get from the park to one of those resorts. I think it kind of makes them a little more accessible.
100%. And, you know, for example, when we were at the studios, they don't have the best counter service restaurants, you know, for lunch. I mean, you got Backlot Express, you have Fairfax Fair has some new options. I think they have fajitas even. But we decided, we hopped on the old Skyliner, went over to the Riviera and ate at their new counter service. And man, I had the best burger. It's called the Riviera Burger and these fries. And seriously, you can be from the front gates of the studios to the Riviera in less than 15 minutes, probably closer to 10. It's incredible.
Yeah, awesome. It really is. And it's constantly moving. It's, you know, basically an omni mover, if you think about it.
It's so like the Haunted Mansion.
The lines are always moving unless there's something happens to stop it. And, I mean, most of the stops, I imagine, are them just adding the cars on for people who might be need one of the wheelchair accessible cars. They have to pause it for a second to rejoin the line.
Yep.
But then after that, we left Epcot again a little early because we didn't need to stay for the fireworks a second time. And we went over to Disney Springs, which, like I said, we love Disney Springs. It is just, it was so crowded that night. It was a little rough. Disney Springs on a weekend, right before Christmas. It's a little tricky. I'm not going to lie. But the entertainment is just everywhere. You can't, you know, walk 10 feet without, you know, bumping into a magician or a improv group or a, you know, band or something. And we just love the whole vibe of the area. And, you know, it does not hurt that there's all that delicious food out there either.
What's your favorite, like, go-to, like, snack or just something quick? Not like a table service, but, you know, put yourself in Disney Springs right now. What are you going to grab?
We'd probably go over to... if we want sweet, we're going to Ghirardelli.
Yep.
But if we want savory, we'll usually go and split one of the pizzas over at Blaze.
Yeah.
We really enjoy that. Our favorite sit down at the moment is Homecoming. I mean, that's the stuff.
Oh man, that's pretty. Yeah, you can't. Right there. That's just a winner all the time. What about? Have you been to Flight Pig?
No, not entirely true. We have been there, but only to grab one of those Gideon's Bakehouse chocolate chip cookies. Are you familiar with the crazy?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay, so there's a bakery in, I think it's in Orlando, that delivers these cookies to Flight Pig. the place is called Gideon's Bakehouse, and you Google it, they're huge. The cookie weighs about 2 pounds.
Oh, good Lord.
And it is like studded with huge chunks of chocolate and stuff. And people, they get delivered right around 4 o'clock every day, and people will line up waiting for these cookies. I remember we were there, we were the third people in line. They only let you buy one per customer. And the lady in front of me was trying to get the dude who was there just buying barbecue to go buy an extra cookie for her.
Oh, it's
and they sold out of cookies about 5 minutes after we got ours.
So I have one word for that, America.
Crazy. It is just amazing. Now, I might like the cookie num-num a little bit more, but it is a solid cookie. Like, if you're into chocolate, that's your cookie right there.
Well, I will be back in 4 weeks, so.
Mm-hmm. And then they're opening up in Ample Hills there, too. So now, yes. Like, they're just making my ice cream life a little bit harder at Disney Springs, you know?
Oh, same. That's my favorite place in the world for ice cream. God, I love Ample Hills. Oh, that's why I stay at the boardwalk when I do.
Yeah, we actually went to look at all the boardwalk resorts, the Yacht and Beach Club, Boardwalk, Swan and Dolphin, and see all their decorations. And we were eating ice cream at Ample Hills on that trip. And there was a family that was walking by, and the mom said, the grandfather said, well, come on, we'll go get ice cream. And the mom said, no, there's a better place over at the beach club. Let's go get ice cream there. And I had to stop her. I'm like, oh, are you talking about Beaches and Cream? She's like, yeah, we're going to go get the big giant sun. I'm like, oh,
it's closed,
under construction.
Right? Yeah, I was gonna say,
so
it was
they
closed.
Were, thank God I saved them the walk over there. But so they wound up getting the Ample Hills, and they sat beside us. They seemed very happy.
And just a little update for anybody that's going down. It is back open, and there is a takeout window now. They've added just like a window. You walk up. You know, you used to just go inside and go to the counter, but it's a lot bigger and a lot more efficient. But it is, I'm telling you, I was there. We ate dinner there. It is so loud in that place, but it could have been just because it was marathon weekend and runners are nuts.
Yeah.
But oh man, it was like, it triggered me like when I used to have cafeteria duty in school. Like it was that loud, mm-hmm. like an elementary cafeteria.
Crazy. So then our last day we did like half day, because we usually leave around lunchtime. So we ran over to Animal Kingdom, you know, did our favorites. We did Safari, Everest, Dinosaur. One of the highlights of this trip is we happened to be walking through the park and Kevin was wandering around. So, you know, Kevin doesn't really do like meet and greet, but I kind of like ran up to her and yelled, hey, Kevin, can we get a selfie? And she actually squawked and like smiled for the picture real quick and then sent us on our way. So that was really cool. We had fast passes for Flight of Passage. However, I can't ride that ride anymore. It makes me violently ill.
Same. So I mean, it doesn't make me that sick, but it makes me a little queasy. So I'm just like, yeah, well,
so
you know what?
My husband went and rode it, and I hung out and watched the little show that they do with the mech suit. The guy in the big mechanical suit came out, so I kind of watched that. He went and rode the ride. We grabbed lunch at Satuli Canteen.
Oh, I love that place.
And you know, then we called it a successful trip.
Man, it's a great trip, and I'm glad we got to share it here because, you know, again, I was like visually like right along. I could see you with Kevin, like, because I was just there, and Kevin was everywhere. Like, I'm not kidding. I saw Kevin like 3 times just in the one day I was there. Let me ask you this, though, as we wrap it up, and sorry the show went a little bit long today, but hopefully everybody's just hanging in there and having a good time. What's like the thing you're going to, because you go so many times, you know, you guys are DVC, squeeze in as many trips as you can. It's going to be a little bit before you go back. But what's the memory from this trip? Because, you know, for me, it's always like one big thing. Like, this was the trip that, you know, this happened. Like for me, you know, marathon weekend trip, this was the year that the marathon felt like it was 1,000 degrees, but we still all made it. We just all lost 10 pounds during the race. So what was it for you? Like if you had to sum up this trip, a lesson you learned, a tip you want to pass along, something from the trip.
This was the trip that honestly Hollywood Studios upped the ante for me. It used to be kind of be like the park we'd spend a little bit of time at. This is a full day park now. It's a park that I will make time in my schedule to not just go to, but go back to later in the day at different times of day. I mean, Galaxy's Edge has added so much to Hollywood Studios that this was the trip that really rocketed Hollywood Studios, you know, value to us way, way, way up.
Totally agree with you. It's amazing. That part, especially once March hits and we get Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I mean, you know, the knock on the studios for the last decade has been, oh, it's a half day park. It's not. Yeah. I mean, it's weird though, because they're all like big experiences. There aren't a lot of minor experiences at the park anymore.
No. And I mean, you remember the show Lost, right?
I've never seen it.
We have to go back. We have to get back to Batu.
That's it. Yeah, it's so cool. Well, hey, Marissa, thanks so much for kicking off the week with us. Great way to start the week. And, you know, Martin Luther King Day, hopefully some folks are being able to sip some coffee at the kitchen table while they listen. That's how you need to do it. Otherwise, you're probably just fighting traffic on the way into the office. But either way, thanks so much for coming on the trip. And I'll have to talk to you after your next big vacation here.
Thanks for having me. I had a blast, and it helps me with the Disney blues, with the post-trip blues, when I can share my excitement about Disney with others.
That's why I started the show in 2008. It's the same thing. It's like, I can't go. What can I do? I can talk about it. So, no, thanks so much. And, hey, I'll have to go riding sometime down in North Carolina. I've only ridden a horse once. That'd be fun.
Come on down anytime.
All righty. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by friends over at touringplans.com. You want to stay out of crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. And they have great information for getting the most out of Batu. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. Also, when you do that online shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, and it costs you absolutely nothing extra. And each purchase does help support everything we do here on the show. So thank you so much. And please bookmark it and use it often. beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at beourguestmike and at beourguestpod. And of course, we got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get back to work or chilling on a day off from school or work. You know, hey, that's nice too. And of course, we'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. And we've gotten a lot of them lately, so be ready for that. So for Marissa, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work or just relaxing. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.